As Ben mentioned in his introduction today, we're continuing our series of sermons on temptations we face. And today we come to the temptation of partiality, the temptation of partiality. And if you don't know what partiality is, here's a definition with our first point. Partiality is the failure to value or treat equally or fairly all who have been made in God's image due to external factors. So I'll say it again. Partiality is the failure to value or treat equally or fairly all who have been made in God's image due to external factors. And Genesis 1:27 tells us who has been made in God's image. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. All of humankind is created in the image of God. Not just men, but also women. Doesn't matter what your skin color is, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter how tall you are, doesn't matter how smart you are. All of us, we are told, have been created in the image of God. That means we're above the rest of creation. Just as God rules over all things, as those in the image of God, we're now to be mini rulers over all things on God's behalf. We have been created in the image, in the likeness of God. And I want to suggest to you, friends, that being created in the image of God, the fact that all of us equally are created in the image of God, means that all of us are equally valued by God. All of us are equally valued by God. Now, the fact that all of us are equally valued by God, I think, comes out in one of the two great commandments in the Bible. So James chapter 2, verse 8 says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. So love your neighbor as yourself. We heard that read in our first reading from Leviticus 19:18. That's where that command first appears. But in Matthew 22, Jesus made it clear that love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself are the two great commandments, which basically summarize all of God's law. It's all about love of God and love of neighbor. Love being the idea of acting for the benefit of the one that you are seeking to love. Neighbor is not referring to those who live on either side of us or across the road from us, but as Jesus indicated in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the neighbour is anyone around us who is in need. In our globalised world, where we are so much more aware of what's going on in other countries than what used to be the case, there is a sense where as we become aware of the plight of others in other countries, they become our neighbour, if you like, that we can help, that we can assist. But notice, love your neighbour as yourself, as yourself. I think those two words, as yourself, are meant to indicate that all people are valuable. I'm not just valuable, all people are valuable. And so I am to love my neighbour as myself. I'm not to love them less than myself, I think is the idea that's really being sort of talked about here. I should love them because they're just as valuable to God as I would love myself. So in the scriptures, we see this idea, because we're created in the image of God, that we are all equally valuable before God. And we are to reflect the fact that we're all equally valuable before God by the way in which we love others, act for the benefit of others. And friends, we must resist the temptation of partiality, because engaging in this sin is to breach the law of love of neighbour. In James 2 verse 1 we are told, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus, must not show favouritism. That word favouritism can be translated as partiality or prejudice. But the actual original word literally means receive the face. Receive the face. It's a strange kind of word. Believers in the Lord Jesus must not receive the face, we are told. Now, you might be going, huh? What does that mean? Well, basically, friends, what James is telling us to do here is to make sure we are like God. In 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 7b, we are told, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward period, the appearance, that is, they receive the face. But the Lord looks at the heart. So what James is saying is that we should not be making judgments or assessments of others on the basis of external things, like how tall a person is, how the person is dressed, what colour their skin is, any other kind of external thing. We must not be making judgments or assessments based on those kinds of things. And we certainly must not be devaluing people on the basis of those things or overvaluing people on the basis of those things, it seems. Friends, this sin of partiality is actually quite a serious sin. James 2:9 says, if you show favoritism, if you show partiality, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. In the verses that follow this one, we are told that adultery is a sin which breaks the law. Murder is a sin which breaks the law. And so it's interesting that partiality or favoritism is compared in this passage with very serious things like adultery and murder. That might surprise you. But the truth of the matter is that succumbing to the temptation of partiality results in evil outcomes, including murder. Now I'm going to talk to you about five isms that are the fruit of partiality, if you like. Five isms. I could talk about more isms than just these five, and I'm not going to be talking about them in any particular order, so random order. But the first one I want to talk about is classism. That is, we make judgments or assessments of people on the basis of where they come from or what their education level is, what school they went to, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Look at what James 2:2-4 says about classism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. And a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So let's just imagine our welcoming team is on and they see someone quite well dressed. Oh, gee, we're really happy to have you here today. Come on in. We're going to give you a great seat. But someone turns up. Looks quite poor, very tatty clothes, maybe smells. Down the back for you. Down the back for you. Notice what James says here. When you engage in that kind of classism, you judge with evil thoughts. You judge with evil thoughts. I know what it's like to have classist attitudes spoken against me. I remember when I was quite young, my sister married into a rich family. And there was a sense where it felt like they thought they were better than us. I remember that they, ex-brother-in-law's family came to our house, and I remember one of his sisters kind of looking around, you know, and she said, do these small houses have any backyards? And it was just like, oh, that wasn't good. I used to minister in the parish of Minchinbury, which takes in Old Mount Druitt, Rudy Hill South in Minchinbury. And can I tell you that people in Minchinbury hate the fact that they have the same postcode as Mount Druitt? If you really want to rile someone up in Minchinbury, call it South Mount Druitt. Right? They hate that. So here in Western Sydney, right, we feel like the people in the north and the east and south look down on us. But even in the west, we still have classist attitudes as well. Okay? Sexism. Where one sex looks down on the other sex, and historically it's men looking down on women. Friends, can I say that, you know, I go to conferences around domestic violence. I'm involved in thinking about that issue. Sexism or gender inequality is one of the key drivers in domestic violence. Men thinking that they're better than women, treating women like objects, objects of violence. Racism, what a hideous evil racism is. Thinking less of others or more of others depending on the colour of their skin or their race. And we have seen murder in the name of racism all throughout the world, even in this country. 6 million Jews died in World War II. Was Adolf Hitler was racist against the Jews? It's a hideous evil, and it still very much impacts our society today, if we're honest with ourselves. Ageism. It can work on a couple of levels. Children shall be seen and not heard. We can kind of think less of children. But in our culture today, it's often the elderly who are looked down upon, seen as not really having anything of value to offer, not being seen as particularly important. One of the sad things about aged care facilities, many of the people who are there often don't get visitors. You know, they're old. They're just irrelevant now. People don't think highly of them. And that's a really, really sad thing. If you're over 50 and you're trying to get a job, good luck. I know men who have literally dyed their hair in order to sort of look younger as they're going through the job process. Even me, I don't want to go anywhere, so let me be clear on that. But if I was looking for another church to work in, there are a lot of churches now that probably wouldn't be interested in me because I'm now in my 50s. They're looking for someone younger. So ageism is actually a thing in our culture. And also ableism. People discriminated against on the basis of disability. I'm thankful that we're getting better in some respects. A lot of people with disabilities have been discriminated against by virtue they can't access buildings. And so I'm really thankful that, you know, things have improved in that respect. This church, when it first opened back in the early 70s, was not disability friendly. But over the years, it's become that. And that's a good thing, right? But many people with disabilities find themselves treated partially because of their disability, even looked down upon. So here are the different types of isms that result from partiality, from not treating or valuing people equally or fairly. So all people, remember, no matter our age, no matter our stage, no matter our ability, no matter the colour of our skin, all people have been created in God's image. All people are to be treated with equal value. But the sin of partiality means we don't do that. Now, the truth of the matter is, we hear the command, love your neighbour as yourself. Yes, should do that. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yes, yes, we should do that. And when we think about these different things, we kind of look at them and go, yes, they are wrong. And if we've experienced these things against us, we don't like it. But yet we still find ourselves tempted to do it. We still find ourselves tempted to show partiality in different ways. And the question is, why? Now, I could say, yes, well, of course, the reason why is because we're sinful people. Yes, that is the case. But are there particular things that can lead us to succumbing to this temptation? Well, I want to suggest to you that our environment, fear and pride are some of the drivers behind why we can succumb to the temptation of partiality. Our environment, think about the context in which you grew up. Did you grow up in a context where those in authority over you, parents or other relatives or whatever, regularly told racist jokes aimed at a particular group of people? If that happened, it could very well be that those sorts of attitudes have been baked in. Or did you grow up in a context where sexism was rife? Through actions, through words. Sometimes a young boy might not have played a a great game of soccer or whatever it is, and Dad might say, "You played like a girl today." Now, that's a sexist comment. That's diminishing the value of girls, right? And if you kind of keep hearing that time and time again, that kind of attitude can become baked in. When I was at school, many years ago now, the word spastic was often used as a put-down for others. You know, a word which is very much a derogatory sort of term about those with disabilities. Friends, our environment can actually have a bearing on whether or not we are predisposed to showing these kinds of acts of partiality. And so if you're a parent, a grandparent, aunt or uncle, or spiritual father or mother, let's be very, very careful about how we speak to our kids, to those who are in our care. Let us make sure that we're not cracking jokes which are partial sort of things and potentially baking into them these kinds of attitudes. Gotta be careful about that. Fear is another one. Xenophobia is often kind of connected with racism. The fear of the stranger, the fear of the foreigner, if you like. They're a bit strange. I'm a bit fearful of them. You know, they're a bit different. They seem to do different things to me. Or I don't think I really want to engage with them. Actually, I think that what we do is better. But, you know, so fear can be an issue. You know, it's interesting, back in the days, say, of World War II, even World War I, you didn't want to be a person of German origin living in this country, let me tell you, because there's a great fear around the Germans. Post-September 11, 2001, being a Muslim in this country, I think, was hard work because a lot of people were filled with fear. And so fear can often cause us to act in partial ways towards others, not to treat them in good ways, not to value them equally as we, you know, value ourselves. But also pride. We heard a few weeks ago that pride is the idea that I exalt myself, lift myself up to God's level. Well, you see, the thing is, whenever you lift yourself up to God's level, you then distort all other relationships. You know, if you acknowledge that God is God and you recognize that God is God and that he wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves, then you'll do things the right way. But the moment you become God or make yourself God, it distorts everything else, and inevitably you start looking down on others. You think, my culture is better than their culture. You know, I'm a richer person, they're not. I'm better than them. And that pride, friends, is not good. The pride can also, on the other side of the coin, lead us to, well, I want to be honoured, so I want to favour the rich. I want to favour, you know, those who are the elite, so I might somehow get dragged up with them and be honoured myself. Now, friends, as followers of Jesus, we have no reason for pride. In James 2:5, we read this: "Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" James says to those that he's writing to the churches that he's writing to, churches that would be no different to us, you're poor in the eyes of the world. You know, you're tempted to favour the rich over the poor. Well, he says, really, think about whom God has chosen. God didn't choose the elite. God didn't choose those that the world would have chosen to kind of make up the people of God. God chose a vast variety of people. Yes, some are more at the elite end, but a lot aren't. He didn't choose us because of our abilities or skills or wisdom. Friends, it's all by grace at the end of the day, right? But we have nothing to boast about. We have nothing to be proud about. We have no reason to think that we're better than others. Even as those who are followers of Jesus, don't sort of think, oh, well, God chose me because I'm so good. No. We have nothing to boast about at all. We have no reason to think that we are better than others or to devalue others in any way, shape, or form. So, friends, I think that these are some of the drivers that can make partiality a temptation for us. Not all of them, but I think some of the key ones. But I hope you're hearing that this is not a trivial matter, the temptation of partiality. This is very, very serious. It's a very, very serious sin which we must deal with. And the truth of the matter is, we've all done it. We've all acted in ways where we've been partial to others. We've engaged in the different types of isms. Maybe we're doing it and we're not even aware of it. But we've all done it. The good news for us is that God shows mercy to those who have succumbed to the temptation of partiality. But those who have received mercy from God are now to show it to others. So look at Titus 3, 4-5a. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God doesn't save us and give us the hope of eternal life because we're good. No, we're not. We all fail God's standards. We're saved through the blood of Christ, the one who took the punishment we deserve by the mercy of God. And the mercy of God here is referring to the love and the kindness that God showers upon us, even though we don't deserve it. So when you think of mercy, think of God's love, think of God's kindness. So you could have been the worst racist of all, but if you come to God, sorry for what you have done, trusting in Jesus, you can be forgiven and experience God's mercy in your life, experience his love and kindness in your life. Friends, Christ died for all sin, not to some, but for all, past, present, and future. And so, doesn't matter how partial you've been, you can be forgiven. You can experience God's mercy. But if you come to God seeking his mercy, well, there is now an expectation upon us to be a people of mercy, to be a people who do show love and kindness to others, to be a people who flee from the temptation of partiality. Indeed, look at what James 2:12-13 says. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. How we live now as followers of Jesus matters. We are told to live our lives in anticipation of being judged. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we can know that through Christ we are forgiven. But there is an expectation that if we are followers of Jesus, if we have received the mercy of God, that we are now people who show that mercy to others by fleeing from partiality, who show love and kindness to others as God has to us. But notice that if we don't show that kind of mercy to others, if we do engage in all of the different types of isms, if we do engage in partiality regularly, if we have no concern about it whatsoever, notice that if we are making assessments of people, judging people, not based on mercy, but by the face, by the external things, judging them with partiality, notice that if we do that, that God will not be merciful to us on the day of judgment. How we live now does matter. If we claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, we are meant to display evidence of the fact that we do. And we display evidence by being loving and kind to people, by being merciful to people, not showing partiality. So friends, it's really, really important that we are treating this temptation seriously. If we're just totally ignoring this whole matter, it could have an impact upon our experience of judgment. We have to be aware of that. And so it's important that we resist this temptation. And so let's talk about some regular actions that will help us to resist the temptation of partiality. And as I've been doing over recent weeks, I'm going to keep telling you, learn from God's Word. Keep learning from God's Word. Remember I said earlier on that the context that we're in, if it racist jokes are being told, sexist comments being made, etc., can actually have an impact upon us, can actually shape our attitudes when it comes to this sin. Well, friends, given that all those messages are out there, we've got to keep soaking our minds in God's Word to counteract those sinful messages, to counteract those calls to act in partial ways. We've got to keep soaking our minds in God's Word. And so we've got to keep learning and remembering the things that we've been talking about so far today, that all of humanity in its diversity is created in the image of God, that our membership of God's kingdom gives us no reason to think of ourselves as better than others, that we are called to love our neighbour as ourselves, and that being partial towards others will impact upon how we are judged by God. We've got to keep learning and remembering these things, friends, and seeing the sin of partiality for what it is, a grievous sin, which has all sorts of evil outcomes. So let's keep soaking our minds in God's Word and continuing to learn and remember these really, really important truths. But also we need to pray. We need to pray. It might be that you've recognized that there are racist attitudes or classist attitudes or different things within you, and you just struggle to deal with it. You feel powerless to deal with it. Well, friends, God's power can help you. And so we need to keep coming to God and trusting in His power to help us with these attitudes, to help us to steer clear of this temptation. And so here's a couple of particular things I would want to suggest in terms of prayer about this issue. Pray with thanks for how God has made humanity so diverse. Come before God and celebrate the diversity of humanity. Thank Him for it. Think about the richness of different cultures. Like, all cultures have problems, friends, because we're all sinners, right? But there are good things too. Right? Think about the good things that you learn from other cultures. Think about the people that you know who are different to you and how they enrich your life. Give thanks to God for it and do that regularly. And friends, I think if we are doing that regularly, if we're celebrating and giving thanks to God for the diversity amongst humanity, that will help our brains to see, no, even though people are different, that doesn't mean they are worse. I think it will help us to value people. I give thanks and praise to God that I grew up in a very multicultural part of Sydney. I went to school with Greeks, with Lebanese, with Italians, Yugoslavians, Chinese, Malaysians, Koreans, Vietnamese. I had a very rich tapestry of people that I went to school with. I thank God for that. I thank God for all of the different things that I learned from being exposed to those cultures. When you pray, give thanks that God made humanity so diverse. You know, think about listening to a choir. The best choir to listen to is not the choir that sings the same melody altogether, but the choir that sings in harmony, where they all have different parts. That's a much richer thing to listen to, isn't it? Think of humanity like that. Give thanks to God for that. But as we pray, also pray that God would search our hearts and reveal the ways we show partiality. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24 finishes off with this prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I said before, we might be committing the sin of partiality and actually not being aware of it. And so it's good to come to God and say, God, I don't want to commit this sin. And so I want you to search my heart and I want you to reveal to me ways in which I might be committing this sin. Now, that's a hard prayer to pray because you might have things shown to you that make you feel a bit uncomfortable about yourself, right? But if we want to stand firm against this temptation, we need to ask God to reveal to us these attitudes that we need to repent of. So pray that prayer. But I want to suggest with this particular topic, more than just learn from God's word and pray, be intentional in getting to know those who are different to you. Remember I talked before that fear of the other, fear of how they're different, can actually cause us to look down on others and not treat others well. Well, friends, the best way to overcome that fear is to get to know the other, to hear their stories, to explore what it is that makes them different, why they're different, that sort of thing. And friends, at the end of the day, you're just going to see they're human beings just like you. Maybe they've just grown up in different contexts or whatever. But take time to get to know people, hear their stories. And indeed, one way in which you can do that is by being intentional in offering hospitality to those who are devalued by our world. Actually, this is what Jesus said we are to do. In Luke 14, verses 12 to 14, we read, Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So easy to just invite those who are like us, who we get on well with or whatever, but Jesus says, no, no, no. Think about those who are devalued by our world. Invite them. They might not be able to invite you back and pay the favour back, so to speak. But God knows. And remember, just as God will act against those who have not been merciful, well, what we see here is that God will reward those who have been. So remember that. So let's come back to James 2 verse 1. "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism, must not show partiality." Or to put it in another way, in paraphrasing a former minister of this church, Simon Manchester, as we make judgments and assessments about people, it must be in accordance with the faith, not the face. As we make judgments and assessments about people, it must be in accordance with the faith, not the face. That is, we're to be merciful, loving, kind, welcoming of all, not devaluing some and overvaluing others, but seeing all as made in the image of God, all as equally valuable, and we should be loving them as we love ourselves. Friends, when we commit the sin of partiality, we fail to love others as we love ourselves. And we've heard about some of the awful outcomes, including murder, that this sin can lead to. So let's pray now that God would indeed search our hearts and help us to be aware of areas where we are partial, so we can change and love people well in response to the love and mercy that God has shown to us in Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and praise for your word. And Lord, it is a hard word at times for us to hear. Father, please search our hearts. If we're committing this sin of partiality in ways that we do not know, please, Father, reveal it to us so that we can see it for what it is and repent. We praise you, Father, for creating humanity in such a diverse way. Father, we just thank you for how people are so different and how that's just such an enriching thing for life. And we pray that we would celebrate the diversity amongst humanity. Rather than being fearful or scared or proud and being partial to others, but that we would love others as we love ourselves. We thank you that in Jesus there is forgiveness for the sin of partiality as there is for all sins. And we pray that having received mercy from you through Jesus, may we now show mercy to others. Please, Father God, protect us from this sin. Help our church to be a church which is welcoming of all, which doesn't engage in partiality in any way, shape or form. Please help us in that, Father, so we can love others well and bring glory to your name. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we now pray. Amen.